effective, fervent prayer. If you'll bow your heads with me, oh Lord, each one of us here today are here because we love Jesus. Lord, we're here also to get to know him better. And Lord, we know that one of the ways to do that is to be in conversation with him, to be in a relationship. And Lord, we want our prayers to be effective and fervent. So Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on each one of us here. Give us those ears to hear. The eyesight that we can see Jesus more clearly. Touch our hearts with his love, that we will want to love like he does. Oh Lord, you have called yourself the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. Help us to be patient in that process. And always, Father, help us keep our eyes on Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, if you have sat in my Sabbath school class or have heard me speak before, you know that I talk about a relationship with Jesus. You know that is a highlight of anything that I want to talk about. It's going to come out that it's all about a relationship with Jesus. And there's three main components of the relationship: the study of God's Word, the study of the Bible. It's stated first, and it is so important that it's stated first, because it's what brings us and draws us to Christ. It's his way, one of the ways of speaking to us. There's three components. The other one is prayer. Now, it's not just prayer, but it's a prayer that's a dialogue prayer. It's a prayer that you would have in a relationship. And in that process, it becomes effective and fervent. And then the last component is witnessing. Now, a lot of people don't care for that word witnessing. It kind of scares them. So we'll call it sharing, because we all like to share, right? And you'll see why they come in that order, because you can't share anything about Jesus unless you know him. And you certainly can't pray to someone you don't know. So it all starts with the study of God's holy word. And in that process of doing that daily, and I want to underline daily, and the reason why I want to underline it is because it's that important. Any day we miss gives the opportunity to the enemy to trip us, to get us to backslide, to get us to forget. So I underline daily study of God's word, and I would emphasize start it in the morning. Have it be your first thing that you want to do, is bring out the word of God. And once you get to know him, the first thing you really want to do is pray. Before you even get out of bed, you're talking to him. And then when you get to know him so well, you find that is the first thing you want to do. You don't want anything else to get in the way. And you find that time growing. You find it something you long to look forward to, that morning start. And as your prayer life grows, you find that you want to share. So you can see how the steps are so important. But today, I want to focus on that middle one, that also important prayer life. And focus on what it means to be effective and fervent in prayer. Or how do we get to that point? And so, what is prayer? Well, it's communication, right? You can't have any conversation, any relationship on the horizontal level without conversation, without quality time spent. So what is prayer? Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Well, not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive Him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to God. Prayer brings us into a tighter bond with our Savior, into a tighter relationship with Jesus. If we keep the Lord ever before us, allowing our hearts to go out in thanksgiving and praise to Him, we shall have a continual freshness in our religious life. Our prayers will take the form of a conversation with God as we would talk with a friend. He will speak His mysteries to us personally. Often there will come to us a sweet, joyful sense of the presence of Jesus. Often our hearts will burn within us as He draws nigh to commune with us, as He did with Enoch, as He did with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You know, I'm sure that all of you have experienced that burning of the heart within you. Oh, it doesn't come every time that we read the Word of God. It doesn't come every time that we share Jesus with somebody. But often at times, mostly, is when we are doing just that, sharing with others the love of Jesus. That's when you'll notice it the most. Now, we don't live for that. We do live for sharing Jesus. How can we help loving Him who first loved us? How can we help communing with Him when we get a glimpse of God and the fathomless love surrounding and enveloping Him? Prayer is communion. Prayer is life. Prayer is love. Prayer is the breath of the soul. How can a Christian live and not pray? It's the breath of the soul. It is what keeps our Christian life alive. That and the other two components of the Christian walk, of the relationship, and that, of course, reading the Bible daily and sharing. And so we pray because we need God. We need His love. We need His fellowship. We need His care. We need His guidance. So there's a lot of reasons we pray. We pray because we love Him who first loved us, and because we find in Him a satisfaction of the soul not obtainable elsewhere. We pray not to get what we want, but find out what he wants. Now, is that a new concept? I know there's a lot of the Christian world out there that haven't been taught that way. I'm afraid they don't open their Bibles. We pray not to get him to change his mind, but to have our minds changed. Do you ever pray with that in mind? I don't think I have. I don't know that I'm thinking about changing God's mind. But it's pretty easy to think sometimes that we got it right. But praise God, we serve a God that knows what's best and will do just that. We pray not to have him change his plans for us, but to ask him to help us willingly to accept his plans. We pray not primarily to avoid pain, but for strength to bear it. We pray not to be taken out of the world, but to be kept faithful while in it. You'll remember that is part of God's prayer for us in John 17. We pray not to escape hardships or trials, but for patience to endure them. A friend that was doing Bible studies, well, probably 6 years ago now, and I could see that he was struggling, and I asked him, he says, well, yeah, I'm struggling with my patience. And so I said, well, let me pray for you to have patience. He goes, oh, no, please don't. He says, that just means I'm going to have a lot of trials. I kind of laughed, and like you are. But I assured him that God gives us the strength to deal with those trials. And he won't give us any trial that we can't deal with, any temptation either. We pray not to escape work, but for wisdom to know how to do it and do it well. We pray first and last because we love him who has so loved us because we treasure his fellowship and that of the saints. Prayer is the highest spiritual exercise of the soul. Let me read that again. Prayer is the highest spiritual exercise of the soul. In its deeper form, it passes into communion and fellowship with God, opens the door to the throne room of the universe, and converses with God as with a friend. Boy, does that underline the importance of prayer in the importance of strengthening our own personal relationship with Jesus. It's key. In any relationship, we have to have quality time. There's no way that a husband and wife can stay married if they never talked, or if they didn't share with one another their innermost feelings, if they only talked maybe once a year on Christmas, and again, maybe on Easter. That relationship would not last very long. It's important that we spend quality time with our Savior. Christ prayed often. Let's look a little bit at how he prayed. He would go early in the morning and pray. And you'll find that many times in your Bible. In my NIV Bible, I had used a blue marker all the times I found him praying. I didn't look it up to count them, but it's a lot. And in the morning, sometimes he would spend all night in prayer. I haven't done that yet. I'm going to confess, my prayer life has a long ways to go, to grow. But I'm so thankful we serve a God that is patient. So, we find Jesus praying a lot. And I want you to turn in your Bibles, and I'm really thankful that that Janet mentioned John 17, because that's where we're going to turn. You know, there's a lot to be said by repetition. And this is a favorite chapter in the Bible, and the favorite verse in this chapter, my favorite verse in the whole Bible, is John 17, 21 through 23. And I encourage you to mark your Bible. Just about the whole chapter is highlighted in mine, but it's double highlighted in 20 through 23. Because this is the part where Jesus prayed for me. This is the part where Jesus prayed for you. I remember when I came across this for the first time, how much that meant. It just struck me like, wow, Jesus is praying for me. So if you're there, I want you to follow along and read with me. The Bible says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Now, Jesus has just gotten done praying for the disciples. Jesus started out this prayer in John 17 by praying for himself in the very first part of the chapter. So 1 through 5 is Jesus praying for himself, and then from verse 6 on through 19, he's praying for his disciples, and then he turns and he prays for you and I in the future. And verse 21 says, that they all may be one. Now Jesus is praying for you and I to be one with himself. You, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Well, in short, Jesus is praying for a personal relationship with you and with me. It's just that simple. And, you know, the idea of being in him and he in us is the very thing that he had with his Father. And he's just explaining that here. It's just a beautiful thing that he wants for you and I to have, like he and the Father had. That's where Jesus got his strength to even go to Gethsemane and the cross. Friends, I believe we're living in a time when we need to depend on Christ with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And so we can go through the crucible, through the trial, through our Gethsemane. There's a time of trouble ahead, friends. We need to be ready. We don't trust in what we can do. We don't trust in what we have, in the trust in ourselves, because we will fail. But if we search the scriptures daily, if we look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, we will, through his strength, through his love, through his abilities, make it. So let's look at Christ. He found comfort and joy in communion with his Father. And if the Savior of men, the Son of God, felt the need of prayer, How much more should feeble, sinful mortals feel the necessity of fervent, constant prayer? Well, infinitely more, for sure. When our prayers seem inadequate, His prayers are all effective. When our pleas appear sluggish, His pleas are all fervent. When all our righteousness is as filthy rags, He is the Lord, our righteousness. And when our prayers seem unavailing, His are much availing. Now, let's look a little more deeper into this effectiveness and fervency. Let's turn to now James, the fifth chapter in our scripture reading this morning. I just want to focus on verses 16, and then I'm going to add verse 17. The Bible says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Now, it's interesting that an example is given right after the fervent and effective. And Elijah, you look at Elijah and we go, well, yeah, Elijah, of course, man of God, he's going to be effective. He's going to be fervent in his prayers. But the very first thing that the Bible says is that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Friends, Elijah is recorded as a very faithful man. But right after some of these incredible answers to prayer, he failed miserably. And so we need not look at the failures in our own lives, but let's look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our. Let's keep our eyes on Him, because He has promised His righteousness. And I want to suggest to you His fervency, His effectiveness in praying too. You see, Jesus is our intercessor. He takes our prayers to the Father. When we pray in our weak way, Jesus adds His effectiveness. He adds His fervency to it. He knows our heart. And He can take the very pain that we're feeling and explain it with words that we couldn't come up with. God does not say, ask once and you shall receive. He bids us ask unwaveringly. Unwaveringly persist in prayer. The persistent asking brings the petitioner into a more earnest attitude and gives him an increased desire to receive the things for which he asks. Persistence. Do you ever think that you're bugging God by praying the same thing over and over and over again? And God wants us to, we don't just ask once and say, well, okay, I asked last week and, you know, hey, I know He heard me. That would be like if, well, you've heard of the man that got married and 60 years later the woman says, well, dear, you haven't told me that you've loved me in so many years. I don't remember when it was. Do you love me? And he said, well, dear, I told you when we got married, I loved you. And if I change my mind, I'll let you know. That. Don't you? I mean, we love to hear those words, I love you. Yeah. God wants to hear us say, Jesus, we love you. We're so thankful for what you have done. Friends, Jesus wants a personal relationship with each one of you. He longs to meet with you every morning. And if you are doing that already, he looks forward to that time with you. He's more anxious to be there with you than you are. Oh, we serve a God that's so loving and patient. But what about prayers that don't get answered? Why? Well, now sometimes prayers that aren't answered could be because we need to wait. Sometimes it's a no and sometimes a yes. But sometimes it might be our fault. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, if we cling to any known sin, the Lord will not hear us. But the prayer of the penitent, contrite soul is always accepted. Friends, it's plain and simple. Sin separates us from God. And I got to share another text. I can't talk about prayer and not take you to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, and share with you what's recorded in verse 14. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Yeah, turn from their wicked ways. Yeah, if there's a cherished sin, it's going to separate us. God cannot answer our prayers when we're holding on to some cherished sin. It would encourage us to continue in that wrong direction that only ends in disaster. Pray in your closet, and as you go about your daily labor, let your heart be often uplifted to God. It was thus that Enoch walked with God. These silent prayers rise like precious incense before the throne of grace. Listen to this. Satan cannot overcome him whose heart is thus stayed upon God. Wow. That's in Steps of Christ. That's one you want to look up later and underline it. Friends, as you go about your daily labor, send up a prayer. If you want to be effective and earnest in prayer, be in prayer with him continually. That doesn't mean you're walking and chanting some prayer. No, what that means is that you're always connected to him. And you cannot be connected to him unless you start your day with him. You want to start your day with him. Have him when you go out the door, you know, there might be something you see along the way. Lord, I'm so thankful you showed me that rainbow. Oh, I'm so... You know, there's things that come up in your day that you can be thanking him and praising him for. There's things that come up in your day that you pray for wisdom. There's things that come up in your day that you can be praying for someone else. You see somebody, think of somebody or whatever. You can be in prayer with them immediately, praying for those people. And in that process, Satan cannot overcome you because your heart is always there with Christ. Well, those who are really seeking communion with God will be seen in the prayer meeting. Well, let me just stop there for a minute. I want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to prayer meeting this coming Wednesday. We have a pretty good group that shows up, but More. More is good. Oh, it's an awesome time to share prayer requests. We share those. We have volunteers that will take some of the requests and pray for them. And we have a Bible study after that. And we're in the book of Acts. No, where are we at? We're doing two of them. I'm getting mixed up. I know. We're in where? We're still in Acts on that one. Okay, the other one is we just finished Galatians. But anyway, I just want to make sure that everyone is invited. And you're missing out. And those who are really seeking communion with God will be seen in the prayer meeting, faithful to do their duty and earnest and anxious to reap all the benefits they gain. Friends, you will gain benefits. And by the way, we need to to improve every opportunity of placing ourselves where we can receive the rays of light from heaven. Take every opportunity. Someone that needs a Bible study, offer them a Bible study. Study the Bible, and that strengthens your own relationship with Him. I want to take the time right now to invite you to another opportunity to pray. Sister Kathy Cameron has started a prayer group at her place on Sunday evening from 5:45 to basically 6:45 or 7. We've been cutting it off right on time, so don't worry that you're going to be there 3 or 4 hours praying. But I want to let everyone know that this is an opportunity. It's only for another 6 weeks, I think. And I think you were handed one of these as you came in. This is a card. It's a prayer card. If you didn't get one, if you don't want to have one with your bulletin, I have some deacons that will hand them to you. Just raise your hand, and these will be given to you. Now, on it, it has a date. It has a person to pray for. Our focus on this group is to pray for our kids. You can put someone else on there. That's fine. You can say who it's submitted by, then you can give some details if you'd like. If you don't want to give any details, that's fine. Our Savior in heaven knows exactly who and what needs to be prayed for. And then there's some instructions down below that where it says, they give some prayers, hints for prayers on how to pray. So anyway, as you come to the prayer group, we divide these up into small groups, and Kathy and Ray have a wonderful garden area and we break up into small groups and pray. Some can stay in the house. It's just a wonderful time of prayer. So I would invite all of you that want to come. And if you don't know where Kathy lives, she's sitting right there. Is your address still in here? Okay. Her address is in the bulletin. Thank you, Kathy. And, okay. You know, friends, when we take every opportunity to fill our hearts with the love of Jesus, we fill our cup to overflowing. There is an opportunity this next week to do just that. Prayer meeting and the pray for our kids. I hope we see everyone there. Melody and I will be in Redwood Camp Meeting. We will miss it this week, but we look forward to that. How many want to fill their cups to overflowing? Amen. Let's sing that closing song. And when we get to the last verse, notice what it says about praying on the last verse. Let's sing.
stand.